Hey everyone, welcome back to Ad Hominem, the podcast of illogical debate. You will notice that this episode is pretty short. I know we said we were going to do the thing where we had all of our guest stars with all five of the debates we recorded instead of just 3 out of 5 like we normally do. Our guest was using a microphone that overheated, and as a result, nothing past the second debate is really all that audible. I'm going to go ahead and give you those two good debates. Hope those are enjoyable enough for you. Previously on the podcast of Illogical Debate. I'm kidding. Let's get going.
Okay. I was worried there for a second. I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to recap the episode that I listened to this morning. Knowing Tyler, there was probably some Yu-Gi-Oh! Talk. I know Jennifer Lawrence made an appearance. Her name, at least.
For like 5 seconds.
Do what?
It was for like 5 seconds. Just, we talked a lot more about Sean Ashmore and how much we hated him, and then about how we need more male nudity in Disney movies. And
why Disney movies specific?
Because it's not there yet, like at all, any kind of nudity.
So
it's a group in Australia that teamed up with Kevin Bacon's Mashable rant.
Okay, well, we have an episode of the podcast to record. I can't watch that.
Yeah. That's true. Today, the day you are listening to this, is probably Valentine's Day. At least that's the day we're putting it up. Hopefully, it'll actually go out onto the podcast subscription services on that day, unlike the last episode, episode 9, which went up an entire 25 hours later.
Yeah, we had some problems with the RSS feed.
We were cursed with technical difficulties. I think that's the correct RPG term. That. In the spirit of the loving and sharing day that Valentine's Day is, we are going to be nice and loving and sharing and stuff. We're going to bring on a guest.
Am I supposed to make myself an introduction here?
A what? What are you talking about?
I don't know, dude.
Okay, whatever. This is Host Way. He works at a McDonald's. Welcome to the show.
This is pretty nice.
Is that all you got to say for yourself?
Yes, kind of. I mean, I don't really have much going for me.
We do need to check your credentials real quick, if you don't mind. So what qualifies you to be on a podcast about illogical debate?
I mean, there was a moment I tried to be on a debate team. That didn't work out.
Oh, that's what you're going with?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had some other things in mind that you might have used, like that time you called Dr. Pepper Nasty Juice. That definitely qualifies you for being on an illogical debate podcast, because no sane person would say something like that.
It's so gross, though. It tastes like medicine. And, like, not even the good kind of medicine.
No, it doesn't. It tastes like ambrosia, or whatever that nice sap of the god stuff is.
That would be nectar, Joel.
My mistake.
I mean, ambrosia is also a thing, but I don't know. The only thing I do know is that I have a question for you, Josue. What makes you think it tastes like medicine? Is it just because it has doctor in the name?
A little bit. But another part of it is that through my lots of experiences of being sick and having medicine, and my few experiences of drinking Dr. Pepper, which were pretty bad, tasted similar in nature.
I don't remember any medicine like that. I remember a lot of cherry-flavored medicines that didn't taste like cherries.
Oh, man.
But they did ruin my taste for cherries.
Okay, here's the thing about those. Those ruined my taste for, like, cherry flavored stuff. Now, actual cherries, man, I could snack down on some, like, maraschino. That's what those are called, right? Like maraschino cherries or whatever. Well, they start with an M, but
maraschino cherries.
Yeah, those ones. I can snack down on some of those. Those taste so good. But when I'm eating cherry flavored stuff, or like I'm drinking a cherry flavored drink, I just get the hint of, like, hey, you're drinking medicine. And my brain immediately is just like, gross. Which sucks, because I really love cherries.
So, Josue.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I've got a few rules I would like for you to abide by while you're on this show.
Alrighty.
Okay. No singling out targets for ridicule. We are all inclusive and all accepting. That's rule number one. You got that?
Yeah.
Rule number two. Please do not make this political in any way. We don't want to start real fights. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah, I got you.
Then last but not least, you can ignore those two rules as soon as the debate game begins.
Oh, all right.
Like I said earlier, this is the Valentine's Day episode. And actually, Austin is going to be our master of ceremonies for this episode. But before we hand it over to him, I want to just explain what's going to be happening here, if you don't mind. In the spirit of Valentine's Day, I wanted to come up with some kind of Valentine's Day appropriate debate topic. See, you know what I did to do that? I signed up for a dating site and then started answering questions on there. And then I took some questions from their dating category and I adapted them into debate topics.
Okay, so quick question. You went on different dating sites. Did you find love, Joel?
No, actually I found rejection.
Ooh. Hold on. Cut that. Podcast is canceled.
No, we're all good. I'll be fine, eventually.
I'll be your Valentine's Day, Joel.
Thank you. What about you guys? You guys had any more luck than I did in the romance department?
Nope. So, currently sitting, no relationship, and looks like for Valentine's Day, I'm just going to be going to school as normal.
Yeah, I work that day.
I actually don't work on Wednesdays, which is really sick.
Ooh, nice.
But, yeah, means I get to sleep in, so some nice nap time counts as a Valentine's Day date. Fucking, I'll be there.
I can respect that. Josue, you're still in high school, so you probably don't work on Wednesday, do you?
Nah, not really. But I do have an actual concert to go to.
Oh, so you don't have a date for Valentine's either?
Ah, sadly.
So we're all three just good old lonely boys here. Perfect. And we're going to be discussing dating questions. We know all about this. My last date was 4 years ago.
Oof.
Rest in peace.
Anyway, Josue, you've listened to the show once or twice before, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, would you be able to define a logical fallacy for me?
Yes. It is... It's kind of something that an argument that doesn't really make sense.
Pretty close. The actual dictionary definition that I've found recently is that it's any lapse in reason that would make an argument invalid. I made a game built around the concept of forcing people to argue using logical fallacies. And we've been doing this for a while now, and I think the results speak for themselves. It's a pretty enjoyable thing. This week, though, as I've already discussed, our debate topics are going to be dating site questions. Austin, you want to take over from here and lead us down this trail on this lovely Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I think I got it. I'm a little nervous. Am I explaining the game?
No, I think we just did that.
Okay, cool. Debate one. The question is, library date, good idea or bad idea?
And I think it's a good idea.
Okay, which means, Josue, you think it's a bad idea. All right, go now.
Library date. Obviously, it's the best idea. I mean, I assume that you, the listener, enjoy your books. And I assume that you, as a good, discerning taste listener who enjoys books, will also date people who enjoy books. Therefore, what's the best place for you guys to go and just hang out, have a good time, and then do what you want? That's right, the library. You got your shared interests. It's kind of a low-pressure situation because no one actually has to do that much talking. Actually, it's encouraged that you don't do that much talking. And you get to read a book. What could be better?
All right. Here's why library dates are not a good idea. Because, I mean, seriously, if you're going on a date with someone, usually you want it to be, mostly extravagant. And when you go to a library, it's just a bunch of books everywhere and a lot of quiet places. If you're going on a date with someone, best thing you could probably go with is something nice, something where you can see them, talk to them, have a genuinely good time. I don't really think library is a good spot for that.
Yeah, you know what? I don't agree with that. You know why? Because I think library dates are a great idea, as I've already explained. And I think that your whole idea that it's, what did he say, extravagant? Was that your exact words? That it wasn't extravagant or something? I don't think a date needs to be extravagant. Most of the people I've talked to have actually encouraged me not to go extravagant, especially for an early date. And so I think that whole idea kind of invalid.
I have to disagree with you there, fella. Library dates aren't the best date to go on. I mean, there's plenty of other better places to go. I mean, there's, of course, movie theaters where there's a lot of loudness. You can see them with your significant other. They talk to them, have a good conversation, kind of. That mostly applies to other places as well. Libraries, you're kind of just there to be there, be quiet. It's not all that great sounding to me. You just kind of sit there, look at some books, look at them. That's about it.
Not everyone likes loud places for dates. I personally hate very loud places. It's a kind of a thing I have, like sensitive hearing or whatever. It's better now than it was when I was younger, but I still, you know, not a huge fan. Not a super huge fan of that. Also, you're forgetting one thing that you can still do in silence. And that's make out. I'm done.
All right. Strong finish.
Really, if you go to a library, yeah, it's either just go there, be quiet, do what you need, do what you really can do anywhere else. Or you can go just about to any other. Yeah, just think of a movie theater. Watching a new movie that's probably in both of your guys' interests. There may be a lot of noise, but you get to have some good communication skill things there. And overall, it seems like a really good time for me.
All right. That was interesting. Let's go ahead. Joel, what was your fallacy?
Let's see. I had the genetic fallacy. Accept or dismiss evidence based purely on its source. And I honestly don't think there could be a worse theme of debate topics to try and throw this one out on. I did my best trying to, like, say that I had a source that disagreed, but I don't think that actually fits the definition.
I don't know. It was kind of hard to pick up on that. Okay, Josue, what was yours?
Mine was black and white. Insist there are only two sides or possibilities, when in fact there could be many. I know I didn't really start off that well with it in like the opening statement, but as I got into the rebuttal and the closing, I tried to get that in as much as possible. But it's kind of not really.
Yeah, both of your fallacies were on usage. So now that I'm talking about rules and stuff, this is the judging portion where I get to judge you guys. So the three criteria are best opening statement, best responses to criticism, and best use of the fallacy. So let's see, best opening statement. I probably have to give that to Joel. He came in pretty strong, giving us a couple of examples. Best responses to criticism. This is a tough one. Cause
is it though?
Joel, I know you're trying to persuade me. And I was actually leaning towards you anyways. So I think Joel had a pretty good response to like the whole extravagant versus not. Best use of the fallacy. I don't know. Joel, I didn't really notice you use yours all that much. So I'm going to have to give it to Josue.
Sweet.
Best fallacy use.
Yeah.
So I still won.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. I can accept that I use my fallacy poorly here if I still won. library dates. Actually, I do not think they are a good idea in real life. Especially for all the reasons that I said they were good, I would actually prefer like a bookstore because there's less of pressure to be silent.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you pull out a book in a bookstore and you just plop down and start reading it, somebody's probably going to get mad.
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. Unless you pay for it and then go sit over in the Starbucks.
I feel like you're talking specifically about the bookstore we have at school. It would not surprise me if most bookstores just, like, had a Starbucks nearby, or even inside.
Okay, the Barnes & Noble at our campus and the one in Greenwood both have a built-in Starbucks. My local bookstore, it's not a Starbucks, but it is a cafe.
So, this would mean it is on to debate two. Y'all ready?
That's correct, I think.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Some would argue that it's not correct, and they would say it's debate three, but I like to believe that the order is 1, 2, 3.
I think it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, personally, but
I mean, I feel like you got it a bit twisted, a little backwards maybe, but I could maybe roll with that. So your debate is, should you have a call/video chat with a date you met online before meeting up? First is debating for definitely. Second is debating for not necessary. Joel doesn't think it's important to make sure he's not getting catfished. He just doesn't care.
I would date a catfish.
Man, you would either go through a lot of money in scuba equipment, or you would date a dead fish.
Well, I don't want it to be dead, so yeah, probably a lot of equipment.
All right. Or I mean you. I guess you could just like.
I could go where they live.
Yeah, true. You just keep it in a tank at your home.
Or you know just. If it lives in a zoo or something, they've got those man-sized catfish there.
I haven't been to the Indianapolis Zoo in a few years. I'm going to put it this way. The last time I went to a zoo was when I went to the zoo in San Diego. And that was a few years ago. Like, that was 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah, it would have been 12 years ago the last time I was there, I think. So that fish is probably dead.
Well, maybe it is not because the lifespan of a catfish is, in fact, 60 years.
Oh, okay then.
I mean, unless it was like really old when you saw it, then.
So I could date a catfish. They even have the same lifespan as us.
I mean, kinda. Josue, you are first. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
On your mark, get set. Opening statement.
All right, so have you ever had that time where you got catfished and you have absolutely no clue that was going to – I had no idea that was going to happen? Yeah, that should not happen because what you really should do is call them or have a video chat with them. They're online and you don't know exactly who they are and no clue who they could be. That's probably the best thing to do if you haven't really been in contact with them at all. Call or video chat, that's best thing to use. Really, it's just a matter of if you want to get catfished or not, but I think it's very important.
You make some valid points, I'll admit, but at the same time, why ruin the mystery? Why would you do that to yourself? Like, best things about a first date is getting to know your date. So if you just assume right away that you're getting catfished, it kind of just, like, kills the magic, you know what I mean? You just assume the worst. That's not good. You need to hold out some hope for the world. It's good to be hopeful. It's good to have that mystery. It's good to maintain some sense of wonder.
Okay, what I have a little bit of trouble with your statements with the mystery portion of it. I don't really think of anyone that would want to be entrapped by that mystery of a possible catfish. Well, I mean, for one, you want to go to that first date knowing who you're going to be with, who it is, and really for the fact that you're, like, in the sense of you're a male, I wouldn't want to be catfished by some 40-year-old guy. That would not be fun. I don't really want to be playing some weird Scooby-Doo kind of thing, figure out who they are in, like, the last, like, 15 seconds of I actually meet them, but I it's most important to have some form of contact with them that involve, like, seeing them or hearing them.
Okay, I think that you have this thing going on here. You've got this insecurity about yourself, and so you're projecting that onto other people. I've heard that's a big thing about, like, personal insecurity and inability to believe in others. I heard that's a thing somewhere. And I trust it. I trust my sources. Anyway. Yeah, no. You know what I think? Honestly, if you are on someone's profile and they've got three pictures that are clearly of the same person, you're probably good. You're probably good. Speaking of which, I think I only have two on my profile. Maybe that's... Anyway. No, I'm not catfishing you. I'm not. It's really me. Oh, hi, Mark.
So for what I got, no matter what, I don't want to end up having to meet up a 40-year-old man out there. Though I may be shy, maybe kind of might be a bit scared to go for do something like that, like meeting in person online and no real idea of who they are until I actually meet them. It's vital that you know, like, who you actually are dealing with before this all happens. Yeah, I don't want to be dealing with some older male that's not exactly at all who you expected it to be.
I think there's an easy compromise to this situation that we've all been overlooking. And that is that if you've been talking and you think you've been getting along all right, then all you got to do is ask them to send you some pics. Some freshly taken ones. You know what I mean? Not like nude pics. That's for after the first date. But you just send them a picture of you or ask them for a picture of them. And if that doesn't, like, calm your senses, then I don't know what will. I don't think a video call would if you're not confident from just a recently taken selfie or whatever, but...
Okay. Jose, or Josue, you went first, so go ahead and read off your fallacy for everyone.
I used a kettle logic. Use inconsistent or contradictory arguments to support a claim. I have no discernible idea if I even use that or not.
All right. Joel, go ahead and read us your fallacy.
All right, I had the false cause fallacy, saying that a correlation, real or perceived, between two phenomena equals an association between them. So, you know, like how Josue has no confidence in himself, therefore he has no confidence that the other person is a real person.
I'm definitely going to have to give fallacy use to Joel, because I notice his the most.
Aw, yeah.
Best opening statement, I'm going to have to give that one to Josue, because his, like, really caught my attention right off the bat and just kind of reeled me in. And then best responses to criticism, I think I'm going to also have to give that one to Josue, because there was a few things that he said that, Joel, you didn't even touch on. I know for a fact there were a few things that you didn't touch on, so I think Josue takes debate number two.
Okay, good job.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to the debates we had available. Now it's time for, you know, the general housekeeping stuff. You can follow Josue exclusively on Snapchat at CheeseIsMyDrug. As for the show, you can follow us on Twitter at Incitement Games. And on Facebook, we have started a group called the Group of Illogical Debate. You can join the group, and that's where we'll be posting all of the polls from now on. We'll still be posting polls to Twitter as well. The polls on the Podiant.co page will no longer be maintained after this point. It'll just be Twitter and Facebook. If you haven't already, subscribe to the show, and maybe leave us a review if your subscription service has that feature. If not, then you can go on Twitter or Facebook or anyone else that supports hashtags and talk about us using the hashtag AdHominemCast. While you're doing that, you might try and send us in some debate topics, and maybe they'll end up on the show one week. You can use that good old hashtag to get it to us. We will see it if you use the hashtag, trust me. I check it, like, hourly. But if you don't like using hashtags, then you can always email them to me, incitementstudio@hotmail.com. Next week on the show, we will be having another guest star, Joe Connolly of the Spoilers Digest podcast. That's with Joe Connolly and his friend Vanessa, where they take a movie one or both of them have not seen. They try and predict the plot. Then they watch the movie to see if they did actually predict the plot. So if you have any questions you would like to ask Joe Connolly of said podcast, you might send those in. We'll see if we can turn them into debate topics. That's all I got. I'm going to send it back over to past me, who was in the episode. Okay. Hey, Austin, since you were the master of ceremonies this week, do you want to drop the famous closing line?
Man, I hope I don't butcher this, but always remember, debates aren't about proving your point. It's about asserting dominance over your opponent.